Praise the Lord, everybody. You may be seated for a few moments tonight. We want to say what a distinct honor that it is to have been invited to preach at this 53rd anniversary of the camp meeting, and all of the great things we've heard about the history of this church amazes me. And we just feel greatly honored to be here tonight. And of course, Elder and Sister Epley are good friends of ours. And we love and appreciate the Epleys. And been knowing them quite a few years. And we rode the river together for a while. We got knocked out of the boat. We swam to shore, and somehow survived. Hallelujah. And God has been good, and there's really nothing that I could add as far as accolades that have not already been said this week. And from the first night on about the Epleys and the benefit that they are to this church. God brought them here, and what great people they are. And he is a great preacher in his own right. I'm going to tell you, I don't know anybody that knows more scripture than Elder Epley. He can quote it off so expertly, and he is a great man of God. And I am needing to say all of the important things, because not that it's expected as much as it is how I feel, and yet I feel something pushing me to get to the preaching tonight. But I want to say thank you for everything. The delicious candy that somebody picked up, it looked like from a local place, and was in our room, and the beautiful room and accommodations. And of course, we were here for a men's meeting, and I would tell you the time I was here, but my wife's not here, and she corrects me on all my dates and times, and I just don't remember. It's a wonder I can find my way to an airport. But we were here for a men's meeting and enjoyed ourselves and enjoyed this good church and their response to preaching. And this is a good place, and I appreciate all these good preachers that have come. Some of them are our friends. Some of them we have just met, and I want you to know that we're honored to be here with all you good brethren. And I don't know what I'm doing up here. I'll just be honest with you. God knows I'm just a kid off the streets, just a little thief. God filled with the Holy Ghost and put in such a beautiful church. And God knows I'm not qualified, but we're here, and you said you shouldn't have accepted the invitation. I realize that. I have found out one thing about meetings that everybody in the audience wants you to preach good, but it seems like all the preachers that are needing to preach, they're the only ones working against you. Because when a fella does real good, I'm looking for a plane. Isn't that horrible? That's an odd paradox. But we come up, I mean, I really don't want my brother to do bad, but they don't have to do so good. I'm kind of like that stray dog at the dog show. They kept entering into the dog show. And I think I forgot what the entire pun was to it all, but he just was happy to be there. And that's kind of how I am. And to get around all of these purebreds and champions, I feel kind of ridiculous. And I want them to know that I appreciate all these good preachers. I really do. The preaching we've heard this week has been exceptional. It hadn't just been exceptional. There's not an English word probably to describe how most of you feel about what you heard this week. It has been a blessing from God. Amen. From Elder Dudley to Elder Gross and, of course, Elder Boyd, and these magnificent messages we heard from the Lord. And I want them to know that I appreciate them so much. And I wish Brother Dudley would have went ahead and preached tonight. And I'd have been fine and not offended as long as Brother Epley still paid me. I'm just kidding around. Hey, well, kind of. But, and you know, Brother Boyd talking about all that driving of Brother Epley. Man, I've been riding with him every night to church. Whew. Brother Boyd, you're a dangerous man to ride with. He hits them brakes 50 times before we get to the stop sign. He's got a stuttering foot. Driving on those curves, and Sister Boyd say, slow down, and he's reading a text, he's talking on the phone, just everything he accused Brother Epley of doing. I'm telling you. Lord have mercy. But if I have forgotten something, I apologize. I am just in a, I'm in a quandary tonight. I am thankful for everything everybody has done, and I promise you, I'm not up here with any airs like I'm somebody. You got to understand, most of y'all don't know me. I'm just first generation apostolic, come off the street, God filled with the Holy Ghost, and I kind of feel like the mosquito on the fat woman. I know what to do, but I just don't know where to start. Now, my wife said, don't be telling that about fat women, but she's not here tonight. Sister Heron's probably going to call her. Hallelujah. But, Lord have mercy. The Holy Ghost is in this house. Holy Ghost is in this house. Amen, amen, amen. I want the Lord to have His way tonight. I want the Holy Ghost to have its way tonight. Now, I know this is a large meeting, and there's a lot of folks from here to the back, and oftentimes in the back or toward the back, people begin to feel disconnected, that they're really not a part of the service that's going on. But if you're in this building and you're in the sound of my voice, amen, you're a part of this meeting tonight. Amen. You may be here for just the fishes and the loaves and maybe some pizza or some grub after church, but I'm going to tell you, God has got an intended purpose for this service tonight. A whole lot of people go home without having had what they need from God because they didn't come in with a hunger inside of their heart. I'm going to tell you, we got a Bible promise. The Bible said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. But you got to get hungry tonight. You got to get thirsty tonight. Hallelujah. I didn't come to waste your time, and I know there's things you could be doing tonight, amen, and things I could be doing, but we're here. And I don't believe it's all just because it was orchestrated and put together, but I believe that God has had a hand in this meeting all week long. And I feel like that God knows exactly what He wants to do tonight, and you may have disguised yourself or sit there, amen, acting nonchalant and like, hey, I'm really doing all right and He ain't talking to me. But the Bible said one day there was a king that changed his clothes and he went out into battle and he thought that he would be disguised, amen, and get out without any harm. But the Bible said that a man drew back a bow at venture and he shot that arrow and God knew exactly where to take it. He wasn't aiming for anything, but amen, but it was like a direct guided missile and God knew exactly what He wanted to hit at. I'm going to tell you tonight.
disconnected. But God has got a purpose in this service tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I need your help tonight. We need the Holy Ghost to have its way. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, from the front to the back. Amen. We need to get our spirits in this place. Like Brother Dudley said, in unity, in one mind, in one place. Come on now. We need a move of the Holy Ghost. We might as well have church. We might as well let the Holy Ghost have its way for the next few moments. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. How many of y'all need to hear from the Lord tonight? Anybody else need to hear from God tonight? Oh, we need a move of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, we're fighting a spirit right now. Amen. I'm not blaming you, but I'm going to tell you. Amen. The Lord wants to do something in this house tonight. He doesn't want to waste one of these great men of God's messages from the night to the day. But God wants to bring it together in this meeting tonight. And He wants to do something for somebody. We have shouted. We prayed. We've been anointed with oil this week. Amen. We have heard. Amen. Anointed preaching. Hey, we've done all kinds of things, but tonight we need something to happen in this house that goes beyond a shout, that goes beyond the clapping of our hands, that goes beyond the lifting of our hands. I'm going to tell you, we need a genuine, old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost to saturate this house tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Too often we come and we expect a preacher, amen, to deliver, amen, everything we need. But I'm going to tell you, there is a responsibility from the pew, amen, from the seat, from those that are within hearing, to respond to the word. Amen, amen. Anybody can run an aisle and fornicate. Anybody can jump up and down and be committing adultery. Oh, yeah. Said, oh, that don't happen. I'm telling you, it does happen. I've been pastoring 27 years now. Amen. I've seen them run aisles, jump pews, amen, and be full of sin. But I'm going to tell you, if we want a genuine move of the Holy Ghost, you got to get the sin out. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, the devil's mad. But we got to work up a move of God in this house tonight. Praise God, praise God, praise God. If you'll turn with me to the book of Exodus tonight, amen, I am not going to be very long, amen, and I'm always pretty accurate on that. You need to hook up, get on board right away, because I'm going to be done. I feel like I got a word of the Lord for somebody in this place. It may not be for you, but it may be for you. Amen. But I feel like that I heard from God this afternoon. I've been praying, and I guess I shouldn't give any disclaimers, but I will. Before I ever came here, God began to deal with me on what to preach. We're not a bunch of, you know, Apostolic Church is not a place where a bunch of preachers, we get together and compare notes, and we figure, oh, we got a general theme that we're going to all follow together. Amen. What we've been hearing this week has been the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I said it's been the Holy Ghost. Oh, we got to get all our minds in this place. I said it's been the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Exodus chapter number 14. If you will turn there with me briefly, then we'll be going to 1 Corinthians 16. But Exodus chapter 14, verse number 13. Amen. Tonight, read a couple verses of scripture to you. Then we'll go to 1 Corinthians. Amen. Exodus chapter number 14, verse number 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will shew to you today. Today. Oh, y'all aren't, you're not letting the word touch you. Today. For the the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore, this is the last verse I'm reading, because we always stop, it seems like I have anyhow, with verse 14. But verse 15 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? He said, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward, that they go forward. I want to read to you also, if you will turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse number 9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Amen. There is a great door. Amen. An effectual open door. Amen. Is opened unto me. I could take the time but won't. But in Revelations, amen, he talks about a door that is opened that no man can close. Amen. When he has opened it. Amen. And he said, but yet there are many adversaries. Adversaries. There is opposition. I want to preach to you for a few moments tonight in light of 1 Corinthians and in the Old Testament reading of Moses. Amen. That seeing is not believing. Seeing is not believing. Would you go to the Lord in prayer with me? Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. God, I'm asking for your anointing in this house. Lord, I need your touch tonight. Anoint my mind. These lips of clay. God, we're battling against an enemy tonight. God, I need you to help me in the name of Jesus. God, I pray right now in Jesus' name. And everybody say, in Jesus' name. You may be seated for a few moments tonight. Amen. 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 I want God to have his way. Amen. Seeing is not believing. Seeing is not believing. Amen. A popular quote that we have heard many of us in our life is seeing is believing. I believe that even one of the quotes for this state that they are known as the show me state. Amen. But I'm here to tell you tonight that seeing is not believing. Amen. Everything we see does not designate that we are believing. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, amen, that we need to realize that we've got to get past unbelief, that just seeing is not believing. Amen. I've often used many years ago teaching home Bible studies. Amen. That's how we started our first church in Yucaipa. I realize we're living in a day to day. Amen. And you're going to find this strange and weird. But when I had revival and God blessed the church. Amen. After 2 years of having nobody, God brought revival after that. I was about ready to quit. And the Holy Ghost moved in. And in the next 48 months, we prayed through. Amen. And ended up regularly averaging 115 people. And I did not have one move in from another church. I didn't have one person that came from another congregation. We baptized them all. I would dare to say in the age that we're living in, amen, that it would be scary if I had people stand, amen, that are going to a church where they were not baptized, that it would be intimidating to most of us pastors in these last days. Now, I've got move-ins now, and I've got some, but I'm telling you, the devil has got our focus. We are here to win the lost, not to transfer one another saints from church to church. It's still about preaching the gospel. It's not how many, amen, got the Holy Ghost at your church. How many did you baptize in Jesus? Jesus' name. Well, I'm not going to go there tonight, but I'm just going to tell you, amen, that we got to the place that we felt like just giving up, but God brought a revival, amen, into our church, amen, in those years ago in that situation, amen. And I believe tonight that we need a move of God more than we've ever needed. We need men that get hungry for souls, for sinners, people that have never heard this truth. Not the folks across town going to another Pentecostal church. Not to those across the country. Amen. But oh, God, take us to dope addicts and prostitutes and drug addicts and alcoholics that need the Holy Ghost and they need the truth. That's the mission of the Apostolic Church still. Everything we see does not mean that it is an accurate description of what is there. Amen. But I digress. Amen. I need to get back on my subject. I apologize. But seeing, amen, is believing is not true. Amen. Because you could still see something and have no faith. I thought of those, amen, those 12 spies that brother Dudley preached about the other night. They saw it all. They came back and they even showed representation of grapes. Amen. But seeing was not believing. Just because you see this, amen, doesn't mean you believe it. Just because you heard it, doesn't mean you believe it. Just because you stand up and say amen, doesn't mean you believe it. We've got to go one more dimension higher tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, we shouted and we ran and we prayed, but I feel in the Holy Ghost that God's got a word for somebody tonight that you need to take one more step a little further than the shout and the run. Oh, somebody hear me tonight. Seeing is not believing. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. I was thinking, amen, of World War II. And in most of the concentration camps of World War II in Germany, in Poland, and Austria, and in some of these places that they had concentration camps, amen, I read a deal down at the Museum of Tolerance in Los Angeles, California. Amen. That is a museum that is typically mainly dedicated to that era outside of some of the other civil rights times, but mainly for the World War II concentration camp and the Jews that were wiped out. But something that struck my mind some time back was that they said that the captives in almost all of the camps outnumbered the captors. And often it was in tremendous new numbers that they outnumbered their captives inside of these camps by the hundreds and hundreds. They outnumbered their Nazi captors. Amen. At any time, I read that they could have run over their captors with minimal casualties had they grouped together, amen, in unity and overrun them. They would have shot a few, but they outnumbered, amen, the captors so greatly that had they just ran to the gates, they would have been able to get out of those camps and prisons. Amen. But there was a thing called fear that kept them a prisoner, that made them a prisoner. Fear had them captive inside of those fenced camps. Amen. I know you've seen the pictures, amen, of the gunneries and the machine guns and the guards, but they far outnumbered and they could at any time have run over those gates and out of the camp. Amen. I've read, as you have also, of an SS officer and doctor named Joseph Mengel. Amen. He was known as Dr. Death or the Angel of Death. We've heard about him. This was a diabolical, evil man of that century. He was part of a collection of possibly the most deranged minds in history. This Dr. Mengel, the doctor of death, the angel of death, Dr. Mengel, amen, under the Nazi rule, he perfected the art of instilling fear into masses of people at one time. He was a master psychologist, even though anthropology was where he got his doctorates. He was a master in psychology. He worked the minds of the Jews with a thing called fear. Everything they did in these camps, amen, was calculated to enhance fear, to make fear a bigger and a better thing than what it was. Amen. I went down to the Los Angeles Museum of Tolerance on many occasions, and I try to do this and need to go back. They say within 4 more years, there will be no more living survivors. You will have seen the last ones, and every Friday, you can go down there and you can listen to an actual survivor talk about the horrors that they went through and survived during the Nazi, amen, occupation and the concentration camp experience. I've watched little old ladies sit there, and even though it's been 60 or 70 years ago, with tears that would run down their face as they begin to recant or recount the story of the pain of losing their families and all of the torture they went through. Grown men in their 80s sit there and weep and crack in their voices while they begin to tell what happened during that horrible time in the history of man. Because everything Nazi Germany did, they calculated it, amen, to build up a thing called fear. This Dr. Mengel was a monster of monsters. They said, amen, that he experimented, amen, on humans that were alive. He pulled them out randomly out of the crowds of people that were housed in these camps. He would be nice to children and befriend them and give them candy and hold them on his lap to only, amen, send them to the furnaces a day or two later, or shoot them with his handgun in front of their parents and take their lives. He experimented on twins in one account, and it said that he would take twins in his diabolical sick imagination and place one in one room and one in another, and they would torture one because he thought that the twin had some sort of a connection that they could feel or know the pain that the other twin was going under. And they would have their little charts and they would make their little notes, and it's all been documented and found years, amen, after the liberation. Amen. They got it there in the museum, and he would torture one twin until they died. Amen. They would do heart and stomach surgeries. This doctor did with no anesthesia, no painkiller. Amen. He would operate on them. And the screams, they said, could be heard through the night, echoing across that camp. Amen. And it would build on fear. It would put a fear into the people. And that wall of fear grew and got larger and larger. Amen. It didn't matter that they outnumbered the guards by thousands. They were hemmed in. They were jailed in by fear. They took away their identity and their self-respect. They stripped them of their clothes. They disrobed them until they were naked. They shaved women's heads bald and men too, and all their bodies. Amen. They tried to wipe away the identity, gender, or any placement of elder or younger or woman. Amen. No decency because of this twisted mind mind of men that have gone awry. And I know this sounds like just a Grimes fairy tale to some of you, but you have no idea that same evil is lurking in the hearts of men today. You think that's a long ago time and it could never happen again. Don't be fooled, my friend. The devil is just abiding his time for another day. Amen. You hear me? This was real. This wasn't made up. This actually happened to these people. They lost all their self-respect because they were building up on fear. The German philosophy was speak nice and take everything away from them. Amen. Speak sweet words and take it all away from them. Oh, come on now. I'm going to tell you that's exactly how the devil works. Amen. He talks nice to you, but he's stripping you of all your self-dignity. I've watched young people backslide. Oh, God, I shouldn't probably say this, but let me just say it anyhow. That's why I preach against Facebook, and I preach against MySpace, and all those others. Amen. To get on there and watch backsliders parade their pictures of their piercings and their makeup and their alcohol and everything they're doing. It makes me sick. You may want to stay in touch with that, but I'm going to tell you, I'm fighting enough hell without having to look at all that garbage. And the devil put up his trophies of what he's done to our babies, our young people. Oh, some of y'all, I know you don't like it. I'm sorry, but somebody ought to stand up and say, amen. We're defending our young people. I got on through a backsliders because they wanted to tell me, you got young people on there, amen, in your church. So they got me on. And I looked. And you know, I'm not stupid and I'm not ignorant. I know that there is software technology that hooks everybody up, friends with friends that know friends, and they put it all together. Amen. And I looked. And I saw young girls that used to be in our altars. And my mind went back, said, you're a sentimental old preacher. Call me what you want. But I remembered when they had tears running down their face. I remember the service when we were having a chapel one day, and these girls, an earthquake hit in California, and they started screaming and shouting. They thought the rapture was coming up. Amen. And I remember them praying and crying. And now I'm looking at a picture. Amen. Their bosoms are exposed. They got whiskey and beer in their hand and cut hair and dyed and makeup on. And they're trying to make it look like we're having the time of our life. Amen. I'm telling you, the devil wants to strip you of your dignity. Amen. You don't look better out there in the world. You look crazy. You've lost your identity. You've lost your self-respect. Oh, come on, church. You ought not get mad. You ought to say amen. Amen. Well, come on, the choir, say amen. We ought to be able to say amen. I don't know about you, but I want to save my young people. I don't want them out there and the devil stripping them. I'm chasing a rabbit, Elder. I'm going to tell you, I had a young girl come, and they said, that's Leah. They told me her last name. I said, she's here at church? Yeah. Amen. Leah? I hadn't seen her in several years. And she went to a church I turned over. Somebody else, after I started it, and backslid. And she was there, and they said, Leah said she hates God. I said, what? I dedicated her when she was a baby. She said she hates God. They took me to her. Her hair is cut. Nose piercings, ear piercings.
what happened to that little blonde-haired girl when I handed her to her parents at dedication? And now. And I said, Leah, what's wrong? I said, I heard that you hate God. Oh, she said, Elder Frazier, I really don't hate God. I just hate His people. I said, does that go for Sister Frazier? And she goes, no. Not you and Sister Frazier. But she got caught up in all of that garbage. Oh, come on, church. Come on, it's more than cake and ice cream and parties and picnics. We are in the last days. There needs to be some moms and dads and grandparents that will stand to their feet and fight the devil. I'm telling you, while you sit there passive, your young people are watching you. But there needs to be something that rises up in us that says, no, no. Just riding a hobby horse. I'm telling you, the value of one soul, you cannot put a price. And they stripped him naked, shaved their head, shot them at random. Amen. And put fear in them. Amen. And continually, amen, starved them, took their food away, gave them bowls that had lice, amen, and vermin, and every type of filth in it. They were taking away their sustenance to survive. They had them eating, amen, garbage. And I hear an echoing of a voice, amen, of almost 2,000 years ago. Let His blood be upon us and our children. Oh, what a terrible generation that does not care about their children. I'm going to tell you, some of us, we need to suck it up. We need to man up. We need to stand for what it's right. It's worth it. We've got a generation that is following, that needs somebody that will stand flat-footed and preach the word. Moms and dads that will say, you're not walking out of this house, young lady, looking like that. Throw your little fit. Throw your little tantrum. But we're a holiness, one God church. That old devil. He ain't your friend. Making puppets and clowns out of our young people. Even our older folks and women that ought to be almost grandmothers, dressing like they're 17-year-olds. Amen. The devil is trying to make us look ridiculous. Rob us of our identity. Can I ask you, what's wrong with doing right? What's wrong with looking apostolic? What's wrong with that old-fashioned holiness way? Shot him. Just walk up, put a gun, boom. You mark me if you want. I was out in the museum. They were showing black and white footage. The Germans took, they were proud of it. You know, just going on. Come up, bam. Blood splurted out, fall to the ground. Jerking. Fear began to grow until the people.
people huddled together, amen, in those ramshackle bunk areas, afraid to eat, afraid to get out, amen, and the random killings. I'm going to tell somebody tonight, amen, the devil, when he gets control, he's walking into our congregations, and he's randomly, bam, this one's gone, bam, that one's gone, and we cower, and we're afraid, who's next, what's going to happen, I'm telling you, it's not the will of God for the church to be cowering in a corner somewhere, afraid of everything the devil's going to do. Some of y'all are afraid to stand up and say amen and shout amen because the devil has built a wall of fear in your life. The psychological effect became catastrophic. The people became catatonic. Amen. And where they walked around like zombies and didn't have any life in them. Gave up on living. Like some preachers and churches I know. One experiment with young women is that they would shoot them with a low velocity, small caliber gun at the base of their head. Amen. And it wasn't enough to kill them immediately, but they would record with charts the minute by minute details until they died. What were they doing? The effect was total fear. Fear. Remember, they outnumbered the captors, but fear had stronger hold than bars of iron and chains of steel. Fear. You read Revelations 21 and 8, and I could have used it. Amen. About amen, the unbelieving. But it starts off with a big bad dupe by the name of fear. But the fearful, I'm telling you, the devil is trying to wrap some of you up until you're a Pentecostal zombie. You're not doing anything anymore for God. You don't pray anymore. You barely make it to church. You got every excuse not to come. You're hit and miss, and your life has turned into a materialistic world of humdrum, spiritless, no power, no fire. But I've come with a word of the Lord tonight for somebody. Tonight, not tomorrow, but today, the power of God is in this place to set you free. Meters away. Just as close as some of you in the back to this altar. Freedom was right there within sight. Within sight. The gate was there. They opened it daily to bring in and out supplies. But a few hired guns and intimidation and fear had the thousands, amen, shackled with unseen chains. Amen. It said, and I read this down at the museum and looked at pictures that when the American liberators finally came and the gates were opened. Anybody ever been to one of those museums? Huh? Did you see that? When they opened the gates, they showed the footage. Nobody ran out. Nobody left. And it showed these bulging eyes, shaking people. And they were like this. The gates were open. The Americans were there. But many huddled in groups, shaking. And they could not get the nerve to get up and leave. They huddled behind the fence that the enemy had erected that could have easily been trampled down. But fear kept them from walking through, because seeing is not believing. Seeing is not believing. Moses said, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the Egyptians." Moses said, "I want you to see." Amen. Look at this. The Egyptians that you see today, tomorrow ye shall see them again no more forever. And in verse 14, he said, "The Lord shall fight for you." But the very next verse, God is rebuking Moses because the people were still standing there after the door was opened. Amen. And he said, "Why are you crying? Why don't you speak to them and tell them, go forward?" Tonight, I've got a word for somebody in this house. It's time to go forward. It's time to make a move. I'm telling you, amen, the devil has got you bum-fuzzled. He's got you wrapped up in fear. Some of you, amen, you've lost your shout. You've lost your prayer life. You've lost your holiness. I'll tell you why. That women start dressing like little girls and worldliness creeps in because they're covering up the insecurity of fear because you're afraid to look apostolic. I'm telling you, I don't need Hollywood and I don't need Paris. I don't need New York and I don't need the fashions of this world. What we need is Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost power. Somebody tonight, you need to recover your blessing. You need to recover your healing. Your deliverance is within reach. You can see it, but you got to move. You got to go forward. What will people say? I'm a standing member. I'm respected. But you're huddled in a corner. And you're afraid to move. I'm telling you, the Lord wants to take this to another level tonight. I'm not preaching a bunch of hype. I feel like I've got a word for somebody in this house. And you can walk out of here tonight and chuck it over your shoulder and say, "Oh, well, amen," and just mark it up as another dingbat from California. But I'm going to tell you, the word of the Lord is in this house. Amen. You're not what you used to be. But tonight, can I tell you, the liberator has walked into the house. I said the liberator has walked into the house. Wherever two or more are gathered together in my name, there my spirit is. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. And that walled fence, you're huddled. You're afraid to get out because the devil has captivated you with fear. Afraid. I'm afraid to believe. I'm afraid to believe. I'm afraid to have faith. I don't know what the other girls will say if I stop dressing like them. Or the other guys, if I stop dressing like them. I don't know what the other preachers will think if I don't run the way I used to run. But I'm here to tell you, we are in the last days. We are in the final hour of the apostolic church. It's not time to become chained and encumbered with the things of this world. It's time to get liberated. It's time to get liberated. I'm telling you, the gate has been thrown open, and the King of Kings, the captain of my salvation, has walked through the gate. He's here tonight. It's up to you. Amen. You gotta move. You gotta move. You gotta move. You may have to get out of your pew. You may have to get out of your comfort zone. It's time to break out of the traces. It's time to break out of the normal. Oh, come on. Come on. Come on. Tonight's the night. Jesus is in this house. Amen. You've been crying and weeping, but it's time to move. It's time to go forward. It's time. Break out of it. Come on. Said there's people on every side of me. I can't get out of my pew. I push my way. I shut my way. I get up on a seat. And I say, excuse me, but I got to get to the gate. And the gate is this altar. The gate is, come on through. Come on through. It's time. Jesus is here. It's up to you. Sad song and a sad story. Why do you need that when the captain is here? I know you're thinking, well, isn't that nice? He's praying. She's praying. Yes, she needs it. But until they all go together, woo, I'm going to tell you, it takes more than a mama praying. It takes some of you daddies praying. Come on now. If everybody would run the gate, we'd break on through the night. We'd break on through to victory. But while some of you in your old church are standing there afraid to move, oh, you've made friends with the enemy. You've become a collaborator. Oh, but God, you need to break loose tonight. You need to say, if they're going through, I'm going through. If they're going to rush the gate, I'm going to rush the gate. Come on. If you're a young person, I don't want you to stand next to your friend. If you're a young man, you get away from your old buddy. You get away from the same old girls. Come on. We got to break through this tonight. Come on, moms and dads. Some of you need to show your support. Amen. You don't need to be dry-eyed and looking content and crossing your arms and saying, isn't that cute? Ain't that nice? We need some tears. We need need some shouts. We need some prayers. They told me, they said it tonight, that you all used to pray till 1 and 2 in the morning. What about